Who is writing his exam and will be out by 11, maybe that one will soon be coming. But because of time, I think we've got to start. I welcome each and every one of you, and I am sure we are familiar with most of you, but we mentioned this name. I would like our visitors to introduce themselves, but because I'm removing the microphone over to you, I think members from this side better introduce themselves, then the microphone will cross the floor. Before we introduce ourselves, we've got members that are not around here. Honorable Mohel and Honorable Blanchet are attending the conference in Pretoria. Honorable Oliphant is with the chairperson of the community, is writing his exam, and Dr. Ngobo is in hospital and is ill. I am Bishop Ngobo, member of this committee. I'm just voting for it. Thank you. Then on that happy note, I'll allow the HSRC to give us a briefing on this report. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We are here today trying to give you a summary of what it is that we have achieved in terms of our deliverables for the financial aid program. And I'm assuming that we all have a copy of the report. This is the summary report in the annual summary in terms of the highlights of the report. This is our first full year for implementing the new strategic direction of the age of which we introduced in August 2005. When we had this past year to conclude the major changes that we introduced during the previous financial year, we have also had new initiatives which we have done to implement. And it's hard to consolidate all of that in the shareholder agreement, which is an agreement between our minister and the shareholder council of the agency on what things are there to deliver, as well as what the minister is going to assist us with. And it's important for that again, you know, to that we can have progress on that. the topic that I'm going to be presenting to you is special to the another way, which is what we call the title. And the title means E means conversation, A as conversation, I communication network, T transformation, E excellence, and T capability, and finally F means sustainability. All of these things form the main elements of our strategic plan for the future. We work hard to try to consolidate and strengthen much of the way that we have established in terms of research. We exceeded our American target for that to be implemented. One major project that I just want to talk about, because it's one of what I want to be advised, is the policy analysis unit. This particular unit was created under case analytical work and convened the policy dialogue, you know, bringing major people players to go into a fine debate on major issues. For example, not long ago, they had a meeting for the National Health Insurance to try to get a debate on informing the country about the importance of bringing everyone under one umbrella, because the teaching and experience is something that quite affects insofar as it happens to health services that are affected. They do bring in international experts to come into the debate, so that some of the issues that we are trying to grapple with, we can be able to address them from a different angle, including a power and a transformation in the world. It's given that 92% of all the work that we need to consider is actually public for publication. Can I talk about some examples of the way that we're doing in terms of publication? The policy analysis unit has coordinated research that was done by a number of different programs, and much of those programs were able to make assessments on some of the policy efforts to attain the FGLM development goals, including some of the methodologies that underline the research that we've carried out trying to assess the extent in South Africa to achieve the target for the development goals. The five research areas that the Police Analysis Unit coordinated is for the right to be extreme poverty and hunger, achieving improvement of conditions of people who are living in poor areas, and promoting the level of access to primary health education at the same time ensuring that their health is getting the one section at rent. In addition to that, they really looked at the whole area of assessing the impact of HIV-based implementation programs. Let me come to this one of those examples. Now, this is an example of public health research on housing. The findings of this particular study are going to be used to make recommendations for attending all changes policies. In this particular study that was done by the research in terms of group of studies that were initially done, the assessment found that the government's housing policy in South Africa and in poverty class is essentially correct. But they thought that it needed to take into account some of the practical requirements for those families who are subsidized, who receive subsidized housing, so that they can be able to see their new assets, so that they can use it as a platform for creating an impact. And once they completed those studies, there was an immediate uptake of some of that policy. As you can see, the residents of financial technologies who have been in the interest in the result of this particular study. Secondly, there was a workshop that was developed really for the children to have a local government there to be able to rebuild housing demand for the government data. And this interest has gone as far as the cabinet. And thirdly, the research that ended up on the human development of housing has actually taken up some of these results, especially in the relationship around the housing policy. So the research itself is actually informing the policy of government at various levels. coming now to some of the work that we do, we do undertake research on national research on research and development and innovation. We generate some indicators, and those indicators are very important to measure the monitor progress progress in science and technology development. The data that was produced by the interpretation is part of the official national statistics system, and it also was published by the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, that is the OECD. We are very pleased that this information assists the Department of Science and Technology in terms of monitoring the spending in the area of research and development, looking at the human resources in the area of research and development. And we are also very pleased that we started again with another survey on innovation survey, where we found that 52% of those surveys reported that they have innovated the key, which was well above what the experience in other countries such as Europe. The average for Europe was about 42% and was about 52% in terms of innovation in the private sector, which means that we do a very good thing that in our country, we should really congratulate ourselves in this country. Now, another example of public safety is when the agency is on HIV/AIDS. It essentially informs policies and programs on HIV prevention, care, and therapeutic education. This particular program does some cutting-edge research, but at the same time, it does focus on monitoring and evaluation of programs. The program is a major index in the sense that it informs the new national strategic plan on HIV/AIDS as a sexual transmitted infection, which has been launched, you know, by the deputy president. And if you look in that particular document, you'll find that of the 99 citations that the day in terms of sanctions, you know, form informed the document, at least 31 of those included the Asian Pacific Forum, which means that the Asian Pacific contributed significantly to informing the policy that was designed in there. The other thing is that the kind of work that the Asian Pacific does is also financed internationally. In front of 25,000 people in Toronto, the Asian Pacific Aid Organization was presented as an example of monitoring the epidemic. So, the impact that the Asian Pacific has is not just limited to South Africa, but it's also in the global region. Still on the whole issue of monitoring and evaluation of programs, there is a study that just is carried out using the parliamentary grant, and this particular study, it is a longitudinal one that is done to look at the question of monitoring education quality. The results of the study were used to develop the methodology as well as the design, you know, information for evaluating the grade 9 study test. This is called monitoring trends in education quality. Now, it's a very program that is already beginning to make an impact. This is similar to what we've seen with the study that is done in the Western Cape for the grade 8 learners. Here we found that the agency has actually developed an assessment tool and administered it to about 35,000 learners. Essentially what we found is that many of these grade 8 learners had difficulty in so far as constructing sentences. So the literacy and numeracy issues came to the fore as a result of this particular study that we have. Now, the other issue I want to address is the question of the impact of positive progress in the area of discriminatory growth. As you know, we started this issue in the 80s to address the big challenge of unemployment. And the project was to develop evidence-based scenarios for employment and they developed issues for the economic factor of the Southampton economy. And they developed the issues for the Southampton economy. And then they said, well, should we meet some of the standards? What should the economy actually look like? And let's report that we now have the first result of that initiative. And the first result is just going to talk about is really the question of the scenario that demonstrated that if our economy grows by 3% a year, in the situation would be unemployment could rise. But if the GDP grows by 3% a year, unemployment would have to be half by 2014. But of course, there's still a lot of debate about some of these issues. And scenarios are scenarios. They are based on the evidence that we have, and we're putting out there and people should say it. Second, is that public employment will need to become a more important focus of employment, and of course, it will never mind the policy that we have. The other issue that I just want to highlight is the question of manufacturing. It said that it is unlikely to generate more than 5 to 10% of the overall employment target. That would be the case which means we also need to look at those other things like expanded passport programs. And we're all glad to see that the government is now doing the introduction of any Chinese development and expanded passport and expanded passport programs, which will help people to generate jobs. The results that have been carried out in this particular project scenario demonstrate that even if unemployment were up, serious attention will still need to be paid to identify an employment poverty reduction package, meaning that a lot still needs to be done. The next issue I want to address is the question of the African focus. Yes, some of you may recall when I presented the business plan, I indicated that South Africa is going to be focusing more, also maybe that is going to be focusing more on the African continent. We do expect that some of the work that we do should help, you know, to integrate our countries into Africa, but also to learn from other African countries. And you realize that the bill that we have that two sets of foreign committees also gives us a legal basis for actually doing this work in the African continent. There are four initiatives that we are currently doing. The first one being the affiliated network of social responsibility. This is a joint initiative that we are bringing together with the World Bank. We are going to develop collaboration on social accountability and we must ensure that the demand side of government institutions is actually taken care of. We do provide technical support to other African countries. And the project is actually governed by the 10 African Integrated Committee. Because when there are no work in this particular area, the World Bank has now extended that same model to answer Asia, meaning that South Africa and Asia are essentially reforming because of the global policy. Now, the answer model is essentially based on the model of the social aspect of HIV research and alliance program, which is the one we started about 2003. That's the multi-country alliance of partners who come together to conduct social science research that supports HIV policy and program. And as you can see, that it is a program that, you know, is coordinated across the entire African continent, particularly in the sub-Saharan area. The third issue that the H1 addresses so far as the African focus is concerned is the question of the African Youth Charter. The African Union has commissioned the agents of the around 2005 to draw the Youth Charter. And the agency is that subsequent to that, the AU said 2006 consulting with the youth across the continent on this particular Youth Charter. We are glad to say that in May 2006, when the African Youth Forum Convention was established, it led to the adoption of the African youth chapter in Africa. The final issue I want to discuss on the African research is the potential difficulty in partnership. Here I'd like to say that we have started situation with protection and we'll be heading by April meeting to the seminar as well as then coming to South Africa. We are currently trying to get resources to do a major study on the role of South Africa in Africa and the influence of Africa on South Africa. We are also trying to get resources to build our partnership in social publishing concept so that we are able to get information from the friendly side and the friendly side of Africa is able to get information from the community side. We hope that we will be able to get resources to be able to support and support the initiative. Council for Development and Blogging. It's an organization of social sciences across the entire continent, which is actually based in Senegal. And it's a council, it's a similar council to ours, but different in the sense that it's not owned by a single country. So the members who are driving are members of different universities and science councils, you know, who serve on that particular group. It's social science research in Africa. That's what it is. The Council for Development and Social Science in Africa. The next thing I should want to address is the question of implementation network. We are the agents of the belief that we should join in the global movement to encourage strengthening the relationship between research and policy. We do believe that although there are many reasons why policy may be developed, we believe scientific evidence is crucial to really ensure that the policies that are being developed are beneficial, so that we can be able to measure the effect of those policies. So to have the network between policy and research is very critical. So we try to establish implementation networks as a means of actually closing that gap between research and policy. Now, researchers for them to be able to bridge that gap would have to bring in the different stakeholders, the master agencies, the groups, come together to work on the specific objectives from the time that the research is initiated to the time that the research is completed. They will have to work together. Now, for example of some of that collaboration. Here we see the collaboration for the youth initiative, which is done by the H. The members of the advisor group coming from the presidency, from the youth commission, from the global youth fund, from the Department of Social Development, and well as the Department of Health. Now, why is it necessary to bring all these partners together? It's because it does affect the policy. So if we're going to be doing anything on the affected policy, it's necessary to bring scientific evidence to that particular initiative, and then those advisors will then say what we think and what we think. Do we agree or do we agree to that? Same thing happened when we have the employment growth and initiative. Then we do have a working group of experts, the government of the businesses, officials, traders, the business people, representing on that particular board. They do have a reference group, you know, that involves the business, the unions, the service government leaders. Then a quick phase where they can come in and debate without worrying about their head, that they are coming from government or from business, but it provides them an opportunity to come and think through new strategies to really be able to address the question of unemployment. We also have other examples of implementation networks in the SHEM project. The SHEM project is a collaborative HIV and mental health program. which is funded by the U.S. Institute of Mental Health. And then we have another initiative where the steering committee, which is the community-based voluntary counseling and care team, as well as the best to 20, you know, project, which is what we call the Mandela Children. These children were born in the Mandela One Community. In the whole of the people, in the whole of the people, coming now to the question of transformation. The SSRC is now more black than ever before. 71% of the SSRC is black, and it was revised among the first racial group to find that 51% of African citizens are the first of the year. But it's still not sufficiently representative of senior men. The difficult task that we have is trying to get senior level people to come and work with the agency aspect, mainly because one, they are here, and secondly, they are, you know, we have salaries that are not very competitive, as much as, you know, we would like to keep some of those people or to attract them to the agency, because sometimes it's very difficult. But the other thing is that we don't have enough parliamentary rights to be able to appoint people in a tenant agency. If you call someone to say, look, you know, if you tell someone to say, look, I want to appoint you, but I'm taking you from a tenant post where you are and giving you a contract post because I'm not sure whether I'll have enough money to be able to pay you, very few people will really take up their legs and come to the tenant agency unless they really, really are interested in just becoming a researcher. Now, what are we trying to do? Realize the challenges we have. When we did a salary benchmarking study, where we tried to compare the salary of people who are working at the agency with those who are working in government as well as the private sector. We examined and other stationary council, we examined those salaries and we found out that we actually were not paying as well as the other people. So we tried to improve the salary over a 3-year period. And through that decision, the agreement with the unions about the new salary, then the government received the salary by a margin that was a bit higher, which means that we're now going back to be higher. So the no-win, it's a no-win situation for us. We do need more baseline funding so that we can use our first number of tenants. But we've also appointed 3 deputy executive directors at the HSRC who are black to try to increase the proportion of senior level people in the organization and also to address the questions of succession planning. Well, there are deliberate efforts that we are taking in the HSRC to structure the HSRC to ensure that it becomes representative. Although we do not reach our target of having enough black and senior level positions, when you look at the graph from 1996 to 2007, you can clearly see a huge change in the way in which the HSRC is performed in several ways. Black women, they have increased as a proportion substantially from about 30% to 2000. About 42% to 2007. The black men, if you look at them, you see that there has been an increase, not as big as that of black women, from 24% in the same period to about 28%. And then the white women, instead, have declined in number significantly, and they declined from 40% to 80%. And for the white men, we can see that they didn't want to the reason is why in the proportion of white males in the state in capacity since 2004. Now that doesn't mean that we are doing our benefits to so far as getting the organization to be representative, but we still have no challenges in so far with the media meeting context. Now, transformation goes beyond the kind of flexible, it also goes into how we actually conduct research, the lens that we use to undertake research. We have done quite a bit in the area of future gender-based research programs at the age of to train our researchers to have that eye to understanding the challenges faced by men and women, so that when policies are designed, they are sensitive to some of these needs. We've seen a number of programs, scientists are still learning how to use the information that they have gained through training and incorporate it into the research that they are carrying out. Would you expect that in future we see more of the research coming from the age of family addressing the gender issues as part and parcel of their analytical tools? Now, the other thing I wanted to mention about this slide is that we do actually have our staff involved in a whole number of programs that affect the access to our health. And here I'm talking about the Wellness Day that we hold each year. During the Wellness Day event, we ensure that our staff get free testing and screening for eyes, cholesterol, blood pressure, diabetes, and HIV. The main thing for this are interested actually in participating in many of these activities. But we don't just look at their health, okay, we also look at their financial health. We do seminars, personal consultations, we bring in the data bank to come and talk to them about their finances, how they can avoid debt, how they can grow their money, and how they can address their financial challenges that they have. But we also think that advice is so by planning for their retirement. The other thing that we do, of course, our free massages so that we can reduce the strength that they have, so they sleep for too long at night, they get their blood circulating. So we do have those types of exercises where they go through a free massage, and some of them are using the massage chairs that we have, and you can see the picture there which some of them are being massaged on their feet. And of course they do get consultations with the dietitian, checking the physical fitness. So in a sense we are saying that the agents are who does this level there, you know, to care for this stuff. As an organization, we decided that we wanted to improve the quality of the work that we do. So we raised the bar of publication. So instead of just considering only the publications that were agreed to, just registered in the Department of Education, based on general, we must check to see whether we can't have our science published in international accredited journals so they compete with other people internationally, not just amongst ourselves in South Africa. So we raised the bar on some general publications, fortunately the staff agreed with them. So with this kind of effort that we've taken, we now have staff publishing in journals that have been accredited by the Science Citation Index, the Social Science Citation Index, and the other Citation Index, as well as the International Bibliography of Social Sciences. I'm glad to report that the agency of social publication output has increased tremendously to a record of 1.11. If you look at it, it was against a target at 0.85. So we're very pleased with the fact that our senior researchers are actually publishing well enough. So next time we'll be able to increase the target, and I'm sure they'll be able to meet it because they have surpassed, you know, our expectations. Now, for the articles coming from the top 10 authors at the age of 3 were women and 6 were black. There is a sense published in the most peer-reviewed article this year where Professor Michael Sebald, who is working at the social aspect of the study, is referred to as recently promoted to Deputy Executive Director for the social aspect of the study. He published 17 general articles in international peer-reviewed journals. The second one is Dr. Carl Kelser, who is the director also in the social aspect of HIV/AIDS in a medical publication. And then Dr. Vasu Reddy, who is in charge of our gender and development unit, has a publication. And Sean Joyner, who is a doctoral intern at the HSRC, he has published 7 general articles. Now this short journal is an example for us on what we can do with regards to capacity building. We took this young man several years ago with absolutely no experience in research. We developed this young man to the point that he's now publishing far better than they will have. So that does indicate that if you dedicate the time to actually developing the young people, they will always surprise you in terms of success. Now, this slide that we have in front of you shows our excellence in disseminating information to many, many countries. If you look at this, unfortunately, it's not very clear, but if you look at the colors, you see that the green colors are all the countries where the HSRC work can be accessed. In other words, where there is usage. The data that may bring a higher usage. So you can see that our work is used a lot in Southern Africa. It's also used in the US, but it's used in many, many other countries. In fact, about 10,144 individuals came and accessed the HSRC from 137 countries. So in other words, and then they give this came up. So which means that we really have a reach to the whole world again. 137 countries is quite a lot of 131 countries. So we are very pleased that our publication of the press is actually doing such kind of well. We have also completed about 40,900 copies of our publication and given away roughly 27,400 copies, you know, free to the stakeholders that we usually work with. That is in Parliament, through the government, through NGOs, you know, in terms of members. Now, back on the theme of capacity building, I said earlier on about the short group, but let me talk more about what it means that the capacity building program does. Once we increase the pool of competent researchers who will be able to carry out research in the medical science in South Africa, not necessarily in the HSRC, but in South Africa. Secondly, if we want to develop to develop those underrepresented group of researchers to enable our organization to meet our AMD targets. And thirdly, we're trying to support and drive professional development programs in line with operational strategy and performance management system for the organization. And then we're trying to facilitate the placement of international forums in the HSRC so that they can interact with our staff so that we are not just leveraging, but at least we also understand what is going on internationally. And then we're trying to foster inter-institutional collaboration between South Africa and the African continent. Maybe it's to really ensure that we go beyond our own borders into the African continent and share ideas there. Now the HSRC contributes to that in development through really the consolidation and expansion of research intentions and fellowship programs. We are pleased that we'll be able to train 10 research interns with the primary degree who came in through the Department of Science and Technology program. We had 29 candidates who worked on the master's degree in fashion, and we had about 20 candidates for a PhD program and 4 postdoctoral fellows. Now, with an increase in funding, which is about 7 million rand from 25%, which is wonderful, and why we said, okay, we really have been able to set, you know, higher targets for that. The final, two final, or three final slides that I'd like to address is the question of sustainability in all the ages of the The Asian Pacific Bank is a financially sustainable institution. Even though half of our funding actually comes from salaries, we still go out and look for additional funding. We're hoping that the Treasury, you know, will be able to give money to their team so that we also can be able to get more of those resources to try to achieve what I think is the area of. Despite all of those challenges, this year for this past financial year is the 10th year that we have more money than ever before. We're able to raise money externally, but also an increase in funding from DFC. The gap between what DFC gives us and what we raise has actually narrowed because we're now at 50-50. Integrated good, but we might be treated even more. Let me also touch base on other important organizational developments. We're trying to improve the way in which we manage our resources by creating a supply chain management to make sure that our tender process is in line with the Finance Management Act. We have a policy, we have started implementing it. And we're still getting some easy problems like any institution that's trying to implement something new. But we've got systems in place to be able to pick up any of those challenges and address them effectively because we do an external audit that helps us to monitor the implementation of this program. We have saved money from the new charter arrangement that we have so that we now have a company that doesn't have a high, you know, just a higher amount than we did before. And we have come up with a fraud prevention policy together with the whistleblowing, you know, mechanism. I regularly get calls or emails from the company saying, look, they think there is a problem here and there, and I go on there and do investigation quickly to try to see whether it is real or not real, and if it's real, what is that we need to do. So that would be a very good governance issue. Coming to the question of income, we, as I indicated earlier on, that this year is the first year that we have more money, nearly a quarter of the billion rand of funds that the agency has been able to obtain in order to pay out research. I do believe that we spend money wisely because you can see the difference between the funds obtained, the revenue and the expenditure is so small. Maybe that we budget properly and that we use the money that we have been allocated. We haven't ended up a year with a deficit. It's very useful for us. In terms of governance, it's very encouraging that for 7 years in a row, the agents of CS received unqualified funding. Of late, we've not had any matter of emphasis, you know, from the auditor general, and that is very encouraging. The cash flow management has improved significantly. We are collecting a lot more of our debt. The volume of trade and other receivables have also grown tremendously from 2005 to, you know, to last financial year, indicating that we're bringing in more external income. We already have a positive cash flow throughout the financial year. We no longer worry about the question of whether we can pay stuff or not, because of the fact that we are managing our finances a bit differently. And then the other investment of the HSRC was about 80 million a month. And at the end of the year, the investment balance was 31 million. And currently, the investment balance at the end of the financial year, I mean, currently the investment balance is about 91.5 million. Now, this slide essentially summarizes our achievements that I've talked about in the next how easier to say we've done this, we've done this, we've done this, but how we do it relative to the target that the patient reaches out. I conclude that the patients are doing really well on the public clinical research on Africa culture, transformation, especially in terms of achieving the staff, in terms of attrition, as well as gender sensitivity, and excellent, you know, our senior patients are in terms of publication, is doing well on campus learning, particularly for PhD, and is doing exceptionally well for financial sustainability. We are working harder on those targets where we actually did not reach them. So I'm convinced that as an organization, we actually are doing well, particularly that these targets are new targets that were just set up, you know, in the last year. And I must say that the staff has been really helpful. In conclusion, I'd like to say that we as the agency do conduct research that supports policy development, monitoring and evaluation programs, and that we do involve key stakeholders in uptake of the way that we do. We do produce very high quality research. We do work with our colleagues in the African continent. Instead of looking inward, we're trying to look out. We are making progress on transformation of our leadership. We care for our staff and we're a financially sustainable organization. And finally, we observe a good governance principle. I just want to say that we really appreciate the support that we've been getting from the Minister, the Deputy Minister, and the Department of Science and Technology together with the Portfolio Committee of Science and Technology. We appreciate the help that we got from the Chair of Council and all of the members of the Council and their subcommittees have been very helpful. We also appreciate the support that we're getting from many of the service providers who are making us, including the intergovernment department, the donors, and the representatives of the international community. And the HSRC management team, really, I really thank you very much for assisting us to achieve what we've achieved, as well as each member of the staff of the HSRC, because they each contributed to the success of the organization. Thank you very much.
On that note, thank you very much. The chairperson, Honorable Gordon, got you on the hand to be here, so I'm handing the microphone over to him. I'm sure he almost was part of the whole presentation. Honorable Chair, thank you.
I was hoping that my leadership will continue. But thank you for all the efforts and our colleagues. Some of us are trying to do comments. So the three should be here to make the examination. And we hope we'll come. If we say that, we bring you to carry the examination answers. One more check, thank you very much for all the support. I pray that I'm very worried of somebody that I'm going to stand as you might know. And I'm taking my cue from this place, from this hospital community. I'm just trying to complete the process of creating and doing it. Everything that is also in my welcome to you, and to you, and to you, is a country.
Sorry, Chef. What's the effect, maybe? The other two colleagues can introduce themselves to the to HSRC.
Thank you. My name is Mark. This is from Brady Smart.
Yes.
We started out of my
house. I'm not going to call you to the category of service. This is my name is Kesh. Thank you very much. My name is Benson.
I'm sure the chair gets paid. I don't get to the same. And I don't get to go through this. And then there are three members who are attending. Each of them is Thank you very much. But why don't we go into temptations and thoughts? That's what Christ was going through and then confess whatever he went and then he done. And especially for the people of prison, I'm very kind to you as well. If you deal with all the huge issues of compliance and money, then there are things we are in control of the government and the laws of the people. That's why. Are they in
Thank you, Jay, and thank you for that really concise report. I think certainly that idea of information is a lot of awareness. But I just wanted to establish something, and please stop me if I'm asking something which I should and should not understand. I'm relatively new to this. But in your public purpose research, which you clearly highlighted in sort of obviously the issues in the marketplace, I just wanted to know what takes place, what our research thinks, because there should be some sort of plan to either follow up or to make certain that some of your decisions and policies and recommendations are sort of taken forward. And one of the things which I think is important on the HIV issue, obviously, is to take that expansion down to treating people, to see whether the effect of that, because they are being well out of conversations of effectively taking place there. And I just wanted to know whether that program, whether it has certain constraints, or whether it is expensive enough to be able for you to continue, or where to stop, where to stop, and take it forward. And the main thing I would imagine about the climate issue, which is the other public purpose research we're undertaking. And really, coming from an agricultural background, I just wonder why that is not looked at as possibly one of these issues in contact policy with respect to food security. And even the marketable surplus on that side, I think, considering that a lot of the rural people are the poorest of the poor, and whether the informal sector, which is another aspect of this, is taken under the research, because maybe we can stop in a dead horse when you actually quite rightly say that manufacturing is unlikely to generate more than 5%. So I just wanted to know whether that has taken place. Do you want to ask another question, or do you want the next one relates to your African focus, and I was just wanting to establish now with that relationship that you have, which is very meaningful, you decide on the program that whether we actually are able to be a bit selective and say, well, if we're going to go and do research in these other countries in Africa, there's going to be some benefits coming back to us in terms of the research that's undertaken. And whether there's some common cause that could lead you to deciding whether to undertake that research or not. Obviously it's been based on different things by another country, but I just wanted to know whether that in fact was the status quo. The other thing which I'm rather perturbed about is the fact that you make the statement that you're unable to put forward your full complement of staff on a permanent basis. And that you were not paying in market related salary, which I would have thought would have been the very, very big capital that you need in this country to protect that. And why are you not paying for those salaries that we can supplement them from the vast amount of money that you're getting in from your local and international donors? And maybe we can see some of the resources as a sort of a gratuity at the end. But I would have thought that the parliamentary grants would have to cover that. And I would appreciate if you could just answer something. Thank you. I'll leave it there for the time.
Thank you very much for the question. Let me start
by saying that in terms of public education research that we can carry out, indeed we do follow up our research with the development of more incoming evaluation in the system. For example, we received a grant from the Center for Disease Control of $23 million over 5 years to help us to monitor and evaluate the implementation of the National Strategic Plan, which we inform in terms of this development. So what we do is we design studies that actually go out to the community to check to see whether the policy itself is implemented or not. So some of the things are easy to be able to check to see whether they are implemented or not. Others are a bit more difficult to do. But when we are able to do so, we actually do that on a routine basis. In fact, we do coordinate the research sector of the South African National Aid Council. And our responsibility there is to provide information arising from research to inform the policy and then also be able to go back and say how do we monitor whether that research and whether that the intervention has been implemented or not. Secondly, on the question of the Africa Focus, we actually don't do research in other African countries. What we do, we identify researchers in those countries. And then we do research where we compare ourselves to those other countries. So we do sort of comparative research. There are a few instances where agencies of staff have actually gone out to provide technical assistance in these countries. We discourage this. The reason being that we believe that the people in those countries probably know more about their work and their world that we would, you know, just coming from aeroplane and getting to a car and rushing in and giving advice is not the way we should plan to operate in the African continent. So our staff has adopted this model of operating, of actually identifying colleagues, framing the research questions with them, and then being able to carry out research in our country, they carry out in their country, so that we are able to do it together. The good thing about this approach is that the agency is able to obtain funding from international donors who may not want to fund those particular countries because they are worried about whether the money is going to be managed properly. Because the agency has a good record of managing the funds, the donors are willing to give money to the agency to be better identified partners in other nations and then finance that type of business. So that is the model of operation that we are using. The issue of being unable to start on a permanent at war because we don't have enough funding, and the question is really why not use the funding from the donors to be able to start on their supplementary funding. Indeed, we are using external funding to try and support and augment what the state gives. But it's never enough because with few people being available in the country, essentially those people who are in the system can really demand the type of salary that they want to pay. And that's why we did the benchmarking study, to try to see what other people are paying, and we're trying to correct that over a 3-year period. We've met the unions who have agreed with them in terms of how quickly we should increase the salary over the 3-year period. But as I was saying, as we start implementing, the salary negotiations in the public sector got so hard that we needed to step behind again. So it's going to be a very, very difficult exercise to do all the time. So the last question is related to employment in the formal sector. I'm going to have Dr. Bill Hoffman answer the question.
So we have to know that we just finished the study on agriculture. And it looks at only 1 half of the questions which meant the thought that was a starting point in the sense that you said today, not just about people, but even about people who work in agriculture now, and some people who grow up maybe a million of them who work there, but the reality is it's just kind of plan. So, the second question is, I'm going to have to circulate. In fact, we're just going to be a little serious in one of our papers, and the first thing maybe we should just wander around and go to the next
publications and the briefing documents which we are sent on a constant basis. They are extremely useful. I have an entire library now after 10 years of these publications. And they are extremely useful, committee work, statements in Parliament, debates in Parliament. So really, once again, thank you very much for that. I've got two or three questions, Chairperson. The first, you give an example of public purpose research, researching extreme poverty and hunger. I was wondering if you're able to ascertain any trends yet, or if the research shown in its early days, trends would indicate what ought to be done to combat extreme poverty, what road ought to be taken to combat extreme hunger. And if after this research, again it might be too early, after this research, are there any action plans, any specific projects coming out of this research into extreme poverty and extreme hunger? The second question, again, relates to the example you gave of public service research, is the social impact of housing. You use a very interesting phrase on page 3 of your presentation. One of the purposes is to ensure that those who subsidize houses keep their new assets, so that they use housing as a platform for saving and impact. I'm not too sure what you mean by that, but perhaps unpack that just a little. I recently read a very interesting book, The Mystery of Capital. I can't recall the author, D'Souza, and he maintains that the poor, in fact, have enormous wealth. They sit on assets they can't realize, but that's the housing. For example, using the assets as collateral for banking loans, for business services. And I was wondering, maybe that reverence has something to do with that. If you could perhaps just unpack it a little bit. And then finally, congratulations on your unqualified ordinary course and lack of emphasis on matter, but I don't know, I think you made a statement of good eyes. If one looks at all the general's reports, there are at least four or five alarming things which are in fact recorded. And I was wondering if you would like to make comment on those, on page 98 of the hard copy of the report, the Audit General's report. Under Kelly Bentley from 13, there are some serious matters which are mentioned there. And it might be useful to make some comment on those. The first is non-compliance legislation. The second is the adequate monitoring of controls. Third was investigation into fraud via telecom amounting to 50,000 rand. The fourth is a forensic audit which is underway into possible payroll fraud. And then finally another forensic investigation into possible fraud with regard to travel claims. So yes, unqualified reports, but certainly things are mentioned which are serious concerns to this commission. And then finally, about 2 years ago, I was asked to do some research on the profile of my various municipal wards in my constituency. And I got information from many sources. And I think I recall receiving assistance from the HSRC as well. I think I was given a website where if I downloaded and if I indicated what the ward number was, I then got back a profile of that ward in terms of various socioeconomic indicators. I wonder if you could confirm that is the kind of work that the SRG is doing, and if you are still running that site, how one has access to it, and if it's updated on a regular basis. Thank you.
Be able to know that they're comfortable and find another thing that they're to be able to access credit to improve their households, to improve their jobs, and their access to markets and the job creation strategy. The problem with that solution in this country is that poor are really not a homogenous method. Our assessment happens on essentially constantly using their access to credit by institutions in South Africa, simply by virtue of the fact that you have a title. What our research is showing us is that giving people access to a subsidized housing and creation of title is simply not enough. If people don't have access to a job creation opportunity, for example, they're going to rely on a housing payment, they're not going to have enough money to support services and so on, and you'll find migration back into the informal settlement, and that cycle simply perpetuates itself. So we've been trying to advise the housing department that the strategy in terms of subsidized housing needs to be a part of the system.
Thank you very much. Coming to the question of the audience in round 4 on page 98. On the third issue of non-compliance with the legislation, last year was the first year that the agricultural committee can do the supply chain management in transformation in 2001. And we stood, we have to congratulate ourselves that as a specialty council, we actually had a supply chain management policy, which was approved by the council. It was implemented. However, there were indications earlier that there are seeking progress insofar as implementing a new strategy, because we have to educate people about a new way of waiting. The test day is expected to have quite a lot of difficulties when people start getting losing. And we can't educate the entire enterprise to be quick enough when a new policy comes into the regulation. It should be 3 months, you know, before you cover all the stuff. And we think that's the things that happen. And sure enough, we have the interest of not complying with the policy. But I can assure you that the new unit that is coming to be on the supply chain management is to be educated. Last week, the director of HR and of finance was actually educating our own office of the CEO on the new supply chain management to ensure that we were actually implementing this policy. This is over and above, the public message that was the staff. On the new supply chain management and how it's supposed to be implemented. They still go at an individual level to go to the meeting and try to explain and let people answer the question. And we hope this is going to improve in the next financial year. The second issue was the lessons of governance. In so far as inadequate monitoring control to ensure that all policies and procedures are adhered to at all times. And again, it's a challenge for the agency when we took over the office in 2005, actually did not have policies and procedures. The previous incumbent spent a bit of time trying to reorganize the organization to become very productive in terms of its core content. And when I came into office, I had to take over from there and try to get what we didn't have enough time to work on. And that was the end of the policies and procedures. So we have a whole host of our policies, human resources, the finance, the supply chain management. And as we are beginning to implement this, we are also finding out that we must have systems in place to ensure that we monitor the evaluation. One area, for example, we were still struggling to get the density system growing in the area of payroll. And I'm sure, Mr. Matagani is going to say something about the payroll and how we're actually managing those challenges that we're experiencing. Now, on number 12, the implementation evaluation. To me, this is a success in the sense that we have begun to implement our fraud prevention plan because we are following up on every single infringement of our policy so far as stealing money is concerned or someone defrauding us. They are following up, and to me, this is an example to show that our plan is actually working, because we're beginning to catch those people who are using imported. HSRC is not the only organization that is experiencing abuse of imported. In fact, if you do not see today's neighbor, they say some passengers who are the highest white collar crime rate in any other country. So we wanted to support them in our own society, in so far as people defrauded their company. And we are doing something about it. The fact that we only ensure that it's still not there, and it could have been worse. But this is an indication that we actually have to begin to address some of these problems. But let's just have our Chief Financial Officer address the question of fraud in so far as payroll and some of the challenges that we're experiencing on payroll and the struggles that we're trying to face to address this issue.
I think what I would like to mention about the fraud that I'm focusing on is that the detection, the control of the business system, the secret, these frauds were not uncovered by external agencies. These frauds were uncovered by the control of the business. So that means, I think, it's a policy thing. And in all the things where they use frauds, they use the very action. And where you find criminal cases are also in constitution. As far as the payroll fraud is concerned, this is what we have concerned. And what we have uncovered since then is that the controls that lie within the payroll system were not adequate. And we are working with our suppliers and other research in our ecological system. Try and identify ways of improving the controls that are where institutions are leading the fraud rate. We are in the process of evaluating our payroll system to make sure that we balance as well as the future. So we are, the measure that has given us a lot of work, but it's work that we can do is worthwhile because we can focus our resources on the research work. So we are trying to ensure that the system that we have meet our needs both from an administration perspective and from a control perspective.
I think there was a question about social group and whether this is a question of good movement. Maybe on the next round after this question, you would be too late to know.
Thank you. I would like to compliment you for the various committees within the audit committee that you have established to ensure that all the problems that are stated on page 98 are dealt with. My question. Last Friday, Thursday, we visited the MSB and they told us that annually, they produce about 50 researchers as a way of addressing GISA in our language. I see that you've got these number of people that are actually in the program. How much do you produce a year as a way of addressing GISA? And I read fast back. And fast facts are saying South Africa does not have any specific definition of poverty and indeed so. Can you enlighten us on that aspect? I know that social development does have an HIV prevention unit. I wonder if they do work with you or they do contact you on whatever aspect that affect them as a department and that you might assist me. This question we did respond on around subsidized housing and the vicious cycle of having a house and doing many other things because of that. In our constituencies and the circles that we work with, people are saying, I get government subsidized housing so that I sublet it as a way of getting money. And some of these people are employed, by the way. And they are employed. Some of them are employed. And maybe is there a way of looking into, apart from what you said, people that are having these government subsidized houses, but abusing them one way or other? Is there a possibility of looking into that? And finally, if you do have the new charter, would it, if it's possible, to share it with us so that we've got an idea? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Dr. Sudhana, I want to ask one key question coming from the annual report, more than from the presentation that you've given today. And it's very important to put it in the application.
Sorry.
On page number 50, you state also that you're eradicating extreme poverty and hunger. That is one of the objectives.
Page 5.
Yeah, 25. Then talk about consolidating gains and creating new
challenges.
Question the eradicating extreme poverty and hunger. I have some comments here. I have a constituency in the Jotun or Netherlands, and I'm going to home all the time, and they are coming to this activity to think about. That's been there in my extended. But I've just gone the last 3 years now, the parliament something like that, I've gone to Cape Town. And what I have seen there is really absolutely shocking. It's totally disaster next to the other thing that the conditions under which people live. And they didn't tell me why we come, they don't come here. It's dangerous to come to where our people are staying. I don't know further about that yet, but I'm saying I'd like to know really what is the situation about extreme poverty, because my impression is it's a second word. And the next part is the achievement, improvement of conditions for people living in slums in the form of settlement. So I'll just make a comment what I have seen. And I'm surprised that not just in Cape Town, London also, maybe it might be a racial I don't understand, but people say to me, how can you come and walk around? It's okay. But I'm going to people's homes and I look at the conditions under which they live, and it is really utterly shameful. I've marked the question, this is promoting universal access to primary education and eliminating gender, experiments. Really what I want to comment on is that I do, if you go to the patients and so on, the Alan McMahon or others, I'm just amazed that the patient teaches the patient to show them, sit out quietly, no talk, and sit in arms folded, while we're getting in. I was a chairperson of the patient, went to the township before, and we never stopped the children from praying. It's just amazing for me that I didn't think those were ideal conditions for the service itself. I don't know how universal that it is, but my impression was that it wasn't really universal. You talked clearly about promoting people, I'm looking at the same page from page 5, promoting universal access to primary education and eliminating gender as charity. But I don't really know the situation. I would like to know that densities are really so. I think yesterday, but in terms of the quality of education, then I don't care what I'm saying. But the quality of education doesn't come as routinely possible when I look at it. You know, I have sometimes from the mathematics that people tell me about, even of my areas, if I look. And I'm saying, yes, people are saying, getting good mathematical results. When I look at what they were asking, some of it is really humongous. In terms of what I have seen before, and I was feeling ashamed of it. But it's not here, sorry, I'm not special about accepting the things that were picked out of the redemption and care program. I don't really know what the situation is like when I get the impression to say that. Has it become worse or not? At the same stage, I'm finishing in downwards. I walked up the steps that Helen Joseph was with, the previously stable hospital, where a friend of mine is the head of the central section here, Dr. Mariano. I woke up one night and I see him walking dead, all dead. Joe, what's wrong with you? And it's free from the young minister, I am sick and tired of seeing people dying in front of me. No matter how I look at what I'm seeing here, because I was a patient here at one time, but I found it transplanted. Now, I've been comparing, I think, comparable things, but the time that I was here is probably a tough market. But I've gone into the water there, and some of the ambitious, fantastic war is totally disgraceful. I know and I've seen the patient that is right to create his left pocket and nothing more except that all day long. But that was only the fantastic war that was very uncertainty for that to be. But this is what I'm really asking is that what is the situation around this has to be made? And considered improvement, early success. I've got a couple more questions waiting to ask. They're not going to see that this is you in a way, it's our health system, the social system. I'm trying to see whether I was asking questions. On page 10, there's some remarks that you see about getting different grounds. I suppose for what science and technology is different. I know in the problems that we were told by the Department of Science and Technology that we are sort of the theory of getting a 1% of GDP. And the gap between us and the advanced countries wasn't that great, 1 to 3. But now we still have to use after 13 years that we've not even reached that 1 to 3. And some of which countries are now 13 to 3. So our message is really that that is a situation that must be seriously addressed. If I look at your ground, my only impression is that you know, it's not going to be an angry report, but I'm going to sense that this means that this is rather vague. So I expected that the Climate Council should get a much bigger ground than that. Because it's the 1% that the other countries have achieved more than 10 years ago. I've seen that a lot of questions. I see a comment on page 22 in the this is the annual report. I'll find it this way now, and I'll show you. So I think I have in some ways shared the story with you. We're not looking at the situation at the mission, at the primary school. And I'm just looking at the situation under which the children are subjected. Now, there's a little roll on, not at all, but for. I mean, it's contrary to what one expects of this. But I look at a big house and I'm not sure that I'm actually in a meeting. I am not really just criticizing or reporting on this, but the comments that you made about things you see. And I thought someone is really pleased at my impression, and I would like to see it. Thank you.
Buddha's question, asking you a comment in a heart thing on the think of the question from you, Chen, about the kind of socio-economic trend on our from the previous week. There are three main trends emerging right now from a lot of the policy work that's been done, both qualitatively and quantitatively. The first is that poverty in this country is becoming more entrenched among the poor. The second is that the income inequality gap between the very rich, between the rich and the poor, is increasing at alarming rates. It's higher than it was 10 years ago by a significant number. And the third is that the social grant program, despite the large expenditure on the program, is having limited impact on mitigation. There's a very, very good book just been released called Poverty and Inequality in South Africa by Jeremy Tiki and Nicolay Natchez, which looks at the actual dynamics of the poverty problem in the country and reaches these very fancy conclusions, although by very rigorous analysis. The second question about the measurements of poverty. This has always been a highly contentious and sensitive issue, and there is no consensus in South Africa on exactly who the poor is and the cause of poverty. There are three definitions that are being used commonly. The first is those living below the poverty data line, and Treasury defines those. The second, from the perspective of halving poverty in 2040, according to the NDG goals, those living, those individuals who live on a dollar a day and below. And the third, those removed and marginalized from the formal and regulated economy. But these are highly sensitive measures, and there is no consensus or unanimity about what actually constitutes poverty and how you measure it. All poverty research now, therefore, is being used through the Department of Treasury. We'll have a better picture of the kind of measurements one needs to use. On the question of on the subject of that's occurring at alarming rate. Not just by dating, but it's actually a house of them sold at a fraction of the value in which they lease those to property. I mentioned earlier that simply giving people access to subsidized housing or any type of housing is not sufficient to ensure its sustainability. People simply migrating in that situation, they don't have access to employment rates and opportunities, they cannot afford payments for subsidized housing, despite title, they can't get access to credit, they can't afford payments on service, and therefore the bulk migration back to informal squat settlements. Professor Mohamed, on the issue of Kirtan, people are very angry and living in extreme poverty. The only answer I have to that question is that it therefore becomes increasingly important to measure poverty at a household level rather than doing aggregate analysis like we've been doing. And that's the reason why, for example, the presidency and treasury are beginning to look at longitudinal studies, both qualitative and quantitative, that measure poverty over time at a household level. Because even in one particular spot setting, you have to differentiate the level of poverty and then take households in different ways.
Okay, what's the question with regards to the number of research of the issues of education in our issues? Our numbers are not very different from those in the MRC or the previous financial year about 53, and we indicated to change 10. Research of 10 bachelor degree, and about 29 who were actually waiting to work in the market, about 20 who were waiting to work in the company, and 4 postdocs. If you add all of that, it comes to about 53. But in this coming financial year, we have increased the number, you know, so that the goals that they are going to achieve, you know, over the period so that they're able to get a higher income. And then the question of whether what's going on with the country is, I think, actually getting better or are they getting worse. What the data that we have on new infections, there's an indication that we find there is more new infections than we And traditionally, we measure progress of HIV based on the number of existing cases of HIV/AIDS. But now we're moving in the direction of the number of new infections that occur today. The problem with the previous measure of the number of existing cases is that when we begin to introduce the program on antiretroviral therapy, the people who live with HIV/AIDS live longer. So the number should continue to increase for those people who live longer and longer and longer. So now, with the introduction of a new measure of HIV incidence, new infection, it means that we're able to assess whether the program actually works or not. This was the 2005 was the first time that we actually measured new infection based on laboratory methods. And we're repeating that in 2008, and we'll be able to see whether there is a difference, you know, between these two time periods, the previous period in terms of new infection. But the trend that we're seeing now is that the people continue to have new infections, particularly among young women aged between 24 as well as women aged 25 to 29. And that's a thing that we experience is quite a lot of new infections. And then in terms of the healthcare system itself, the healthcare system seems to be deteriorating by all indications. It seems like things are not going so well. What we need to see more people that we see in the private sector, we see now in the public sector, because they cannot afford medical aid. The rate of medical aid is going so high, and consequently, those people are being bumped into the public sector. And the public sector is certainly losing many more health workers who are migrating to other countries or migrating out of the profession into another profession. So hopefully, the new initiatives and standards for health workers will help keep some of those health workers in the public sector. However, there are major challenges in so far as TB is creating a major problem in so far as certain provisions. HIV is also creating a problem. More patients that are in the healthcare facilities are coming for both TB and HIV for separate. And that is also saying that those people that are coming in for a treatment may not be able to find space to the treatment. In the case of education, I would say that the trend that we are seeing is that we are not doing so well. This is just because the basis of the three pathways as well as the throughput, ways in the country, especially among blacks, and that is the concern. It means that a lot of things need to be done. And that is why we are doing some of the studies within the school system to try to understand why, what's happening in the classroom is so far as, the education is concerned. And of course, what we need to find out that events that are early in terms of HIV development can help those children with only where they are. And this is where I would like that many of them to come in and answer that question regarding HIV development. The one thing that I would really try to understand is. Finally, what's the issue of the budget for the issue of the Israeli parliamentary grants? Yes, I am angry. I am angry because we worked very, very hard on staff to submit the proposal for the medium term expenditure framework. Our staff worked very, very hard to submit really good proposals, which take us a long time to prepare. And the news coming back, from DNC, or from Treasury via DNC, is that we don't have money. There's no money. And yet, we had a very good meeting with the President where he indicated the fact that we must be able to get the solutions to science and technology central, the big things that need to be done. And we prepared that proposal after the President has told us that we should do that, and then after we submit this thing, the news comes back and says, well, for next year there isn't any money to finance the new DNC plan. So those are the kinds of things that really require us, and we hope that we as parliamentarians will help to push the executives to try to make sure that they prioritize science and technology, because it is science and technology that is going to help to drive the economy in this country. The kind of work that we're doing, which you have seen, that was indicated, as I was showing you there, each kind of way that helps the government in terms of what it's supposed to do. So not funding the science and technology for other purposes, and I would like the measures to be taken to the president of this country. So he called me, and what he called is that, you know, the minister will look at our plan and approve it. And indeed they've approved the plan for the development of science and technology and for the great challenge. It was approved by cabinet itself. But when it comes to funding, in terms of media and expedition framework, we see nothing coming through. So I think that we rely on you to help us to take this method to the treasury to make sure that climate technology is racially supported.
Thank you.
I want to bring again from the, you raised a number of questions. One is about the poverty problem. And I think that in so many areas, in so many areas, so the question is why don't we really go fast enough on the ground? That's not on the world. And I'm increasingly coming with you, and I want to reflect on that. That it's not only just the policy design, it's the mechanism. There's something in the institutional design delivery. And I feel like I've worked on both ends of the practical implementation side and the research side. And I know we are still saying, one of the blueprints is to move. We've been trying to figure out why institutions lots of money. So hard to understand. So we're trying to apply more and more of our attention to that question, not just on the what to do with the problem. And one of the ways we're doing that is to ask questions about education. We have a project that brings together three programs at the age of 15, the education section, the child and family development section, and the section I work with, which is community partners. Drug and drug initiative that's called the Early Years Initiative. The idea is to ask, how can you bring childhood poverty early? So we're focusing mainly on children that are in hospitals at age 8, but the main thing that that's where we feel that the services will be at. That's not so much as a grant, but my colleague DJ Reddy has shown that the divergence that occurs in the first few years. So we have a team that works at where education is developing to what it means. Now, the first major deliverable of this project is going to be looking at this very question I'm raising, which is we now say the delivery for children under age 5.
Thank you.
question arises then is how to strike the voice of these expressions of liberty agents so that can strengthen the compassion of the world and their ability to make demands on government officials to deliver. So both of those things happening. That's kind of a good question. Just one example. We have a project, Critical Law Design, which is quite a bit where we're looking at the organizational hierarchy of the civil organization in the sector. So we have a question. What is intermediary organization? How do they organize now? Is it from shop sales to what is social franchise, from what level organized to network an organization or community event. One of the ways we can create and fund possibly government funding is intermediary organizations that can give voice to the kind of membership on the ground. And for me, it's analogous to the way in which we're thinking about their connection to development and strengthening civil society in those who give voice and get delivery.
Thank you very much. One thing I want to do about this is a come before us.
So it was a question that I asked you.
Okay. And if you have a tariff from the answer to the problem, I'm just educating you. I'm just worried about the time I told you that it was actually right for 15 years and 5 months. The way I'm going to have you in a good society, so I thought that you can see your attention to this month. And hopefully each one will take a good approach. But that's not the end of the process. For me, I think that there are a lot of chances to say that there are problems that we can see. The speed of approval that you can get rid of certain problems, such as the method is an active move. And we also have to come back to some things that you are raising, for the charity, in general, for the social poverty, unemployment, the question of housing, not only to the question of the poverty effect of housing classes, but also the funding of housing that you see in the future of this charity. That's a major problem. So, I would suggest that at some point you have to come and sit down with the new teachers, come to your desk, to be able to go through this issue so that there is a clear understanding here. To really learn that the technology should not be applicable to the political perception today. It should be not. For development and political. So, let me do the very simple tale of a young, it's a powerful question. He doesn't know that. And then to respond, then you will also be able to complete the process.
Thank you, Professor. Thank you, Mr. Boss, very much for all of us. At that first point, if you could recognize what you expressed about Professor Abed, that's how I understand what you did in the landscape. We don't know what the decision is going to happen, but I think it's going to be so strengthen the best quality standard is due at the end of this year, focusing on the standard management of Chinese and English. We hope that the Lumia reports that the Center for Development and Supply draws out the vision. When you bring out the development inside, we have something better. The last question is, and the first question, that's what I'm saying, with regards to the economic growth. We are facing on page 5 a great deal of emphasis on the public service and the kind of public service programs in terms of growth. And last of all, we're saying each one of these schemes that seem to be unemployment in the past. Here at the Commission of the Minutes, identifying the employment and poverty reduction package. The question is, what would that manage to choose? And what would be the contribution to the government number of policy so that we try to ensure a full employment of all resources and of all resources, not just focusing on governments, on the service and so forth, because I believe that
outside of that, the human radio which is the job of the I would like to see something important about such things as the role of parliament in monitoring foreign aid and in order to structure more the nation from the settlement in relation to parliament. Just to say that last week I was in Geneva and in some parts of the Union, and there are EU to deal with this thing. And I think they are very important. The IPU will be also in South Africa, will be hosting the IPU in April next year. So I thought that transportation structures really might be interested in doing much more in preparation for that. That's what the forum of our country is talking about. That's the point of the area. The restructuring of the functioning of the UN and the parliament will be important. So,
thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'll postulate the question because I'll bring what I was mentioned to you. But I also want to thank the Asian Council for the work well done, especially in the area of harmonization of the voice. Of course, still you need more harmonization in the space of my aid to understand the challenges that are out there in the world. And also, I want to thank you for the chance to say that you are. It would therefore seem to me that with all the policies now looking at the forwards, the policies, the way they are harmonized, stick to one another in a very harmonized way. But more importantly, they also speak to one important aspect, which is the bill of rights, you know, money, you know, from there. But then, regarding the bill of rights, I think there are two aspects. One is the legal application of the act as such, but also the morality of inclusion, I think the social context of the whole exercise. But now looking at the application of these policies out there in society, the criticism that comes out of these policies, the Children's Act, and the Civil Union Act, and the all the issues related to AFGA, all those kinds of, including the people that come from men and women of the job. It really, it just really is that understanding of the social context that I'm talking about. Now, is there anything that the SFRT is doing to harmonize those different aspects? That's the question.
Thank you, I might be chairman's suggestion that you actually get a copy of your deeds, because it's a big concerning thing when I look at the budgets and what you get in terms of government grants, or foreign issue grants in particular. There's a shortfall there which you don't pick up on the back, which is the statutory. And I don't see why you shouldn't get that kind of application. I think you need to manage through the departments. Some sort of means of getting the migrants exactly, because effectively you're obviously going to pay for it. Because then having to pay or contribute towards that shortfall is going to be happening again in terms of the legislation. And all you're doing is actually going to go back into some sort of a so I think you should get that money back. That's the first thing. The second thing I want to say is just a comment using that is, you know, we should have made some sort of investment done in 91 billion only. You've got to be very careful when you're asking for more money. And treasury sometimes a little bit low, and five money, and you don't have the capacity. You just say, now, I know that has to be true. You need people, you need staff, you need terminals, but people together can understand that you spend the money if you want more. So I just wanted to warn you. But the most important thing that I think that I see here, which is very well page 132, is the fact that you actually got a declining local contribution of funds, let's call it that, outsourced funding, taking place within the Regional Council of 50 million, you know, over the last 2 months. Now, I don't know what the cause of that is. I see your quite more foreign donors in the way up, some local ones are going down. And if we realize what's happening, that should be seen to be a reality of every department in this country to be able to make sure that the issues relating to them, and specifically the social issues relating to the human, should behind. And I'm very concerned that you're not seeing others not contributing, you're actually getting out. Thank you.
Mine is a very central question. Is it possible to use the HSLC website to obtain socio-economic information by municipal wards? Is this possible? Who can tell us how to access that card? And secondly, is it updated on a regular basis?
Thank you. Is there any research that is being done, has been done, will be done about the Indigenous knowledge system, as well as upliftment of the vulnerable groupies and health systems as well?
Thank you very much for all your useful comments and questions. With the topic of Mozambique, yes, indeed, it is a shrinking center in the United States, and that has actually made it very difficult for us to pursue the whole issue of the restructuring of the UN, because that was one of the things that we wanted to do when we went to the US. I started with it to meet the United Nations in New York. And unfortunately, it was in the same night at the airport. So when we got there, we were trying to set up a program that can work so closely with the UN and the most advanced funding from that, the hope that we could be the same as one of the centers in Africa that is going to be in the UN. We wanted to be able to go there. Therefore, we want to start to talk to the scientists in the UN to see that we actually provide an opportunity of actually looking at the whole issue. So we have to take it up to the new center to continue to control food also to the virtual project. But we continue to work with us on the South African Africa project. So the other issue is the question of the role of parliament in monitoring the aid that we're getting. The South African aid funding is very small, it's less than 1% of the budget. And I'm just wondering whether we really have talent to come from there. It seems to be a related problem with regards to spending the millions that we're actually getting, you know, from the state. That select the issues that focus on that. And you know, monitor the foreign funding through the regular reports that the regional government has supported major programs in the past. That would be my advice. The question of math and science and teaching studies, when the results come, we'll be able to share with you. But essentially, we are concerned about literacy in the different pieces, and we have received funding from the Royal Dutch Institute of about 59 years for 5 years to try to get the whole issue of education within the school system, and we're also dealing with some of the issues of literacy and numeracy. And then the question of the harmonization of continents, whether is there a way in which you could try making it of this policy, particularly so far as the relation of middle class. Let me say that Parliament has passed really good legislation. You know, the civil year made good legislation has essentially helped us to understand what is meant in the Constitution when it says on the discrimination against sexual orientation. The Children's Act, a very good legislation. But the society in South Africa is kind of ready for some of these issues, and I wonder whether the role for actually educating the public about some of these issues. So I keep seeing the lesbian women being killed simply because they're lesbians, being raped simply because they're lesbians. We are still seeing people not respecting the constitution insofar as not respecting sexual orientation of people. So exactly what we need to do is really have a seminar between Parliament and ourselves and try to design a strategy on how to educate the public to understand those things in the Constitution which are part of the democratic, you know, for our people. So that we can really strengthen our democracy. Our democracy is getting weakened
by learning, you know, the social concept, you know, by the government and what people do. And I'm not sure that when we get very difficult meetings with the Department of Science and Technology to try to get that short for pay or by treasure, because treasure refuses to give an additional amount of money for them. And we have raised this issue year after year to say our parliamentary funding that we're giving us is actually going to decline or it's going to be taken away by that. Instead, in the next couple of years, we're not getting any subsidy in the front of the nation to help us to pay for that debt, meaning that much of the money that we're giving us is going to have to go to debt. And that's a very unfortunate issue, which forces us to go out to look for external funding. And that also accounts for why we see a decline in local contribution and they focus more on the women's contribution. Because we're saying, in order to be sustainable, we must go internationally and look for big grants that allow us to do research for experience compared to going in for the small tender that are coming in, you know, from the state. Because the roads that are coming from the state are not that much. Some of the courses are like 500,000, some of them are different. We are supposed to go out and look for that funding because we are not getting a big increase in terms of our parliamentary grants. I mean, it's better to see a professional at that kind of time, but it's still not enough. We think it's for a long way to be able to do this. And then finally, on the issue of, we should be cautious about the investment balance, in other words, the capacity to pay. I must say that the age of us, we are being pleased with the fact that what we've got is X. Our surplus is very, very small each year. This is called the graph that I showed you about, I don't know whether I'm going to that graph very quickly. It basically shows that, if you look at that graph, you can see that we are pretty close to that. What is there to say? So we have a company and we say, you know, we can see the reason why we have the cash that's coming in is because for this 3 years, yeah, we applied for this 3 years grant. So some of them pay us money in advance. So we keep rolling that money, but we can't use it for anything else until we deliver. So it's not money that's actually available for us to use at that particular time, but it's really money available to use in the following financial year. And then there were a couple of questions that came up, and I think maybe we need to answer the subject on employment growth. The first thing is that we find some money that we're delivering with government and we're compliant as well. And the next thing is money is offshore. Okay. The first thing is our employment scenario. Let's focus on what we're applying for. The next phase is going to be, not that we're going to be abandoning that, but the next phase is going to be more focused on labor market and social protection cuts for information today. Now, in this first phase, the climate creation and markets have been the most important focus of both the research and the dialogue, because that's obviously the most sustainable source of climate creation. And then even within that, the question is, where can we find sources of finance or encourage the finance that can pay reasonable wage, that enable their wage to rise eligible down the road? And that's generally in sectors where there's some international trade, where there's some space and productivity. So it's not only where can we create market-based jobs, but where can we create quality jobs, and what needs to be able to do that. And frankly, our majority can do so. Such as forming network industry, network sectors like ports and rail and recently on exchange rate and so on. So we can then just work on relationships in some areas to say what can be done with the public options and so on. So that I should say from the table is the most important part of our work. But then the issue is that, you know, frankly, we've got, as we know, the biggest open on climate problem in the world. And resolving that problem requires special things. Some of them should be resolved for growth. In a certain period of time. So we're trying to think, what are all the levers available to us
and how can we make use of them? How much will it cost? What is the trade-off and choice? This is an overlay on the table for discussion. Now, some of them aren't completely on the ground for national health. For example, the public service is expanding by 3 or 4% main pitch right now. So we have a project which may be chosen as a preliminary paper, part of that. We have a paper which looks at the character of the public service as an employer, because the public service is a really big employer. And naturally, it needs to be part of the solution. But we also have other imperatives. For example, we need one great salary. It's a merit that's going to cost a lot of money. We think that we should be expanding the public service area. The other question is, public service is an important source of first employment, and should we be black assets? So should we be thinking about this entry fee? So all of those kinds of things, we're looking at a kind of balanced approach to thinking about what role should public service play, or could play, as a way to either as an employer of different types, and so on. So it's a fairly balanced approach. So many of people like Dr. Ben Knight, as a budget office, he sits on our register. He also sits in the House, and so on, to get a balanced dialogue. And then once we have that, and we have a discussion amongst different groups, then we go into a court climate scenario discussion to think, okay, what does that mean now for the commission? But then we can come forward to the rule. We say, government has a budget on the other and under different scenarios, what's left over? That's what public work is going to have to do about the work. We have one community who works to help you use the network. But we don't think that it's the best climate.
Same to the question about frustrated economic data. If the company has frustrated economic data, analyze how much you need for the market opinion, but not by the work that will be helped by national provision and local level regulations actually several formal, informal, rural and tribal areas. So I think if all interesting sources or useful sources, the first would be frustrated economic data from the general household surveys from statistics. I'm not exactly sure if they analyze that data by what level, but it would be worth looking at. The second useful source is the design of the business networks, in particular the 2007 South African State Procedure Report. And a third very useful one, where you'll get socio-economic data, even at the end, is the atlas of 2004 results by the IAC, where they profile ward candidates according to social context. And then a fourth useful one would be the macro social press report from the presidency done earlier this year.
And finally, a question on the vision of knowledge inclusion. Any research in that area? I'm afraid to say that we will try to find funding in this area and we're not in the now the proposals that we share and submitted, including the government, for you to get any resources that are available to the government. So from our side, Chairperson, we would like to thank you very much for giving us the opportunity to present the other report and for asking very good questions and suggestions that we've made and taken forward, especially some of those things that indicated new research areas that we need to get, like the role of carbon monitoring, and the role of the transparent and transformation of the UN, given the fact that South Africa is already in the Security Council. Thank you.
I'm sure that the lunch is ready, special. But just before we go, also to thank you very much, Dr. Shishaki, for the presentation of the report. It's not a lifetime of regulations to the good way to come. Our proposition is that we need more coordination of the research committees. Because last week we mentioned what we met with CFI and some of the work have also been also lay a claim and also so some of those things we but there's a method that we made next week that put into the lesson for the nation. The research that we completed, so
Thank you very much for the meeting and the patience and the concerns.